Lekuta Sichas Chelek Tazayin Pasha Tetzabes Sicha Aleph. Beim Tzivui Vosisas Me'ila Eifed, by the command which Hashem gives that you shall make the robe of for the Eifed, for the of the apron. Zog the Pasuk says Sofa Yir Lefiv, there shall be an edging made around the neckline. Saviv around Masa Eirig, it should be woven Kefi Sachra, like the opening of chainmail, of it's a part of a suit of armor. Yilei, that's the kind of opening it should have. Lo Yikareya, it shall not be torn. Steltzach Rashi Adverta Lo Yikareya, so Rashi quotes the words Lo Yikareya. When his Mefarish explains as follows, Kadesha Lo Yikareya, in order that it should not be torn, you should fold it in and make it strengthen it on the around the edge so that it will not get torn. And if somebody who does tear the edge of the Mi'il violates Alav, a negative command of the Torah, which will be addressed a little bit later. Is nishvashtanik, so we have to understand about this Rashi. From dem was Rashi zogt in unhayb fun zayn pirush as lo yikareya main kedei shelo yikareya. From the fact that Rashi says at the beginning of this Rashi, he says in order that what does lo yikareya mean? It means in order that it should not get torn. Is klar? It becomes clear from this as Rashi nemtan, Rashi accepts. As lo yikareya is nishtan inyevet sivui farzich, that lo yikareya is not some words that are standalone words and they are a prohibition. The Torah declares a prohibition to tear the neckline. Nor is anasinas tam, but rather what it is, it's explaining why it should be folded in and strengthened around there. Avdem vashteit friir and pasuk, it's giving a reason for what it says earlier in the pasuk, sofa yia lefiv, that there should be an edging done. In other words, it should be folded in so that it has a double layer. Kefi sachra kadesh leikarei, that it should be like the opening of the armor, suit of armor, which was chain mail. It was already strong, but it gets folded in so that it has an additional strength, so that it shouldn't tear. So, in other words, that leikarei is explaining why it should be done in such a way so that it will not tear. So then how is it that Rashi then continues on to say un mitavava meisiv, and he says v'hakayrei, and in other words adding to what I just said, not that it's something separate from what I just said, but in continuation to what I just said. So in other words, it's part of the same explanation. He adds, if somebody tears it, he violates a lav. So according to this part of the Rashi, the words lo yikareya are nishan asinas tam, are not explaining why it should be edged in that way, but it now becomes a command that it prohibits someone from tearing it. So it's not an explanation of why the edging should be done that way, but it's a lav, it's a command that you're not allowed to tear it. In other words, the word lo yikareya could be read in two different ways. It could be read as in order, explaining why it should be edged in that way so that it shouldn't tear, or it could be read as a command: do not tear the edge of the neck of the mi'il. But Rashi puts them together. First, he explains it one way, and then he explains it the other way. So he's using both explanations, which doesn't seem to fit. Noch starker is the tmiya, and this question becomes even more, because in Gemara state take, the Gemara says, "Omer Rachba, Omer Rav Yehuda, Rachba said the name of Rav Yehuda, I'm a kareya, big day kahuna, somebody who tears the garments of the kohen, loike, gets malchus. In other words, he violates a lav shenemer, as it says, loike kareya, as it says in the pasuk, do not, it should not be torn. In other words, that you shouldn't tear it. It's a command not to tear it." Maskif lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv asked the question, V'dilma hachika amar rachmana, maybe the word lo yikareya is meant to be read in this way, na'avid le sofa. The Torah is saying, make an edge around it, kehecha de le nikra, so that it shouldn't get torn, but it's not meant as a tzivui, as a command. So the Gemara answers, Miksiv Shelo Yekareya. Does it say in the Pasuk, so that it will not be torn? It says, Lo Yekareya. It shouldn't be torn. If it would have said, Shelo Yekareya, so that it should not be torn, that would be giving an explanation to the earlier point, which is make an edge around it. But now that it says, Lo Yekareya, it's a direct command to you, don't tear it. Das heißt, so what that means is, as das Teichen lo yekareya, that when, if you explain the word lo yekareya ki heiche de lo nikra, that it's read so that it should not tear, in other words, it's explanation on what it has said before, is bestirat zu sagen, as is alav. That precludes interpreting it as a command, as a mitzvah, as an aveira to tear it. It's just explaining what it says earlier. That's what the Gemara seems to be alluding to, that if you explain it as so that it shouldn't be torn, then that precludes interpreting it as a lav. Und afar gefind man takke im farshia teira zwei shittes, and that's why we find in the commentators on the teira, there are two different approaches to explaining the word lo yekareya. Under a taichen as lo yekareya is blois and asinus tam efriyeh. Some interpret it as being the reason why you should make the edging in that way, so that it shouldn't tear. And under a taichen as is a lav b'fnei atzmei, while others explain it as being a command, a lav. Is tamua, so then based on this we have to understand, v'yizis Rashi mitzarev tzei faked to pirushim, how does Rashi bring together two opposite explanations of the word lo yekareya in ein under zalben pirush, and he makes it into one explanation. He goes with both ways in the same Rashi, in the same explanation. So it's either one way or the other, you would think. Based. The noch is Rashi mamshich. That's not the end of the Rashi. The Rashi continues on and he says, Shazem miminyan lavim shebetayra. This mitzvah lo yekareya is one of the 365 negative commands in the Torah. It's counted as one of them. V'chein, and the same is also true of lo yizach hacheshen, of the what it said earlier in last week's, also here earlier in this in Tetzaveh, the cheshen should not move around on the chest of the Kohen Gadol, and therefore it's anchored, it's tied down to the edge of the to the belt of the. The apron, the ephod. So the Torah says it should not move from the cheshen, should not move around. The chayin lo yasuru mimenu. So also when it says in last week's parsha about the poles that were by which they carried the aron, that they should be placed into the rings near, on the edges of the aron, and they should not be removed. They should not lo yasuru. They shouldn't be removed. Haneva b'ba the aron, which is said by the poles of the aron. So over there too, the same is true, that they each one of those count as a lav, as another lav. So what it says, lo yizach, it should not move. That's a command. It should not move. It's not allowed to move. And that you shouldn't remove the poles from the aron. That's also a lav that you're not allowed to remove them. In Pashtus Kumtois. So reading this, it would seem, as that by Rashi adds the words, this is one of the number of the lavim of the Torah, is Rashi oisin sebering an araya. What he's trying to do is bring proof as lo yekareya is a lav, that the words lo yekareya also are a command that you're not allowed to tear it, and that it's one of the lavim. Chodshti mashmas hakosav is, although it would seem from the wording in the pasuk, as in fact Rashi does interpret it that way at the beginning of this Rashi, it would seem that the words mean in order that it shouldn't tear. So Rashi says, no, it's also a lav, and he proves it from the fact that it's counted as one of the lavim. So now we know that it's one of the lav, it's a lav. Is nishmuven, so we have to understand about this. Rashi's pirush is doch miyusad of pshutishol mikra. Rashi, of course, is based on explaining the simple meaning of the pasuk. Is from vanan nem Rashi from pashas aksuvim. How does Rashi know from the simple reading of these psukim as lo yekarei as meminyan lav mishabateira that it shouldn't be torn is one of the 365 lavim? How do we see that in the normal, simple reading of the Torah, that this actually counts as one of the lavin? It's true that Rashi already alluded to the fact that there are a counting of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Like, for instance, it says that im lovan garti v'tayag mitzvah shamarti, that Yaakov said, I lived with Lavan and I kept the 613 mitzvahs. So we see that Rashi attributes numbers to the mitzvahs. He acknowledges in the simple reading of the psukim that there is such a thing as a count to the mitzvahs. And therefore, the idea of the count of mitzvahs fits into the narrative of the simple understanding of the psukim. But if there seems to be no indication, no, from the simple reading of the psukim, as the lav lo yikarei geitarein, in the minyan, that this pasuk lo yikarei, that it shouldn't be torn, is one of those 365 negative mitzvahs. Where do we see this in the words lo yikarei? So why does Rashi address this as if it's a simple meaning of the pasuk of lo yikarei, that it's one of the 613 mitzvahs? Noch mer nishvastandig. We have to understand also, even more so, is the siyum from Pirush Rashi, the end of this Rashi, which is v'chein v'le'yizach ha'cheshem v'chein le'yisur memenu ha'nemar, by the badim, those two other psukim. Mefarshim zogen, the Mefarshim explain, as mit narab bringen die zwei psukim is Rashi oisen zu bringen adugma le'pirushe. By quoting these two psukim, Rashi wants to bring a similar pasuk that seems to have the same characteristics as our pasuk, and he shows the similarity between them. As lo yikareya is saya labefnei atzmi and saya nesinastam, he shows two other examples of that are similar to lo yikareya. That on the one hand they are explaining why it should be done in this way so that it shouldn't tear, but at the same time it's also a lav as well. What does he see in those psukim? But in oichin yene psukim is the pirush apashut is v'layizach on v'layisuru in v'layizach v'layisuru, because over there in those psukim too, the simple meaning of the words v'layizach, that the chayshin shouldn't move, and also that the poles of the aron shouldn't be removed. The simple meaning is kedesh v'layizach, so that it should not move. The Torah is explaining that you should tie down the bottom edge of the chayshin to the belt of the ephod, so that it shouldn't move around on the chest of the Kohen Gadol. And also kadesh lo yasuru, what the pasuk is saying by the poles of the aron is that you should fit them tightly into the rings of the aron, so that it shouldn't move around, it shouldn't fall out. So it's telling you so that it fit them in and well, so that it shouldn't fall out. Undoch, but at the same time, even though they are explaining why, it's just an explanation of why the Torah says you should do it in that way. At the same time, they are also a lav, that you're not allowed to allow the chayshin to move, and that you're not allowed to remove the poles from the aron. And they're counted as two of the 365 negative mitzvahs. So in a similar way, lo yikareya, on the one hand, it's an explanation of why you should edge it in that way. At the same time, it's also considered a lav. So is nishv. So those mefarshim explain it that way. Is nishva standig noisiv of the shayla el derech analsiv base. So we still have to understand, first of all, as the similar to what he asked in the second paragraph here, which is how does that fit into pshut shel mikra? But in addition to that, euch dorten from vanet nemt Rashi from Pashas Aksum as zene meminyan lav shebetayra. So there too, the same question applies. How does Rashi know that it's? Where does Rashi take that out of the pshut shel mikra that it has both explanations, that it's also considered a lav? If the psukim v'layizach on layasuru shtolzch nishrashi. So in addition to that question, that's the first question. Now, in addition to that question, we have the following question. If the psukim v'layizach on layasuru shtolzch nishrashi tzuish taitch nazizanin sinas tamun alav v'nei atzma. over there by V'lo Yizach, which appears earlier in the Parsha, and also in Lo Yasuru, which is even in the previous Parsha, Rashi doesn't say anything over there. He doesn't explain that it's both an explanation and also a lav. Doesn't say anything about it. Is v'manafshel. So we have to understand either way. Oibs is da'ash v'rekaitin taichin lo yikarei als sayels tamas sayels lav. If there is a difficulty here in our parsha, in our discussion, which leaves Rashi with the question, how do you explain it in both ways, that it's both a reason and also a lav? Then Rashi should have also made the same comment earlier by V'lo Yizach or by V'lo Yasuru or both, that it's both an explanation and also a lav. He should have explained it there, since they appear earlier in the Chumash. But on the other hand, Rashi haltas other pirushes in Shokin Shverikait, if Rashi goes with the reasoning that there is no difficulty with that, that it has a dual explanation, that it means both. The other Rabbis say, if Azayful Pashtas Rashi Davtas Gornish Befarazain, and it's so simple that Rashi doesn't have to explain it at all. It's so obvious and self explanatory. Because the child learning the Chumash will understand that it has both meanings, and therefore there's no need for him to explain it, and that's why he doesn't explain it in those two places. Is if so, Favos Daf Rashi does Bavaran in Unza Pasuk, so then why does he have to explain it in our Pasuk? Unoch bring it Rayis LePirushei, and it's not enough that he explains it, he also has to bring proof from the other two places that this is the correct explanation. Why is it not simple, just as simple here? Dalit. If the Esh Shailud L'El Sifala Farem Farem Farem, on the first question that we asked before, which is that he brings two contradictory explanations to the meaning of Layakareya. So the Mefarshim answer that Lefib Shudishal Mikre Dafu Iskuman as Layakareya and Azoy Eich Layizach and Layasuru, that according to the simple reading of the Psukim, it would seem that the word Layakareya, which is true also for Layizach and Layasuru, is Nishkain Tzivoy, is not a mitzvah, nor an Asinus Tam, my freer. It's explaining the reason why the Torah says what you should do. He explains why he says you should do it, because either Lo Yikareya, or that it shouldn't move, or that it shouldn't they shouldn't fall out the poles. But Oib does Vod Gemein Blois. And the Sinus Tam, but if this meant simply an explanation of the reason why the Torah says that you should do it in the way that he says, Hat Gedav Tshtein Shel Lo Yikareya, then it should have said in the Pasuk, so that it will not tear. V'di Gemara Frektake, which is actually what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that how could it be a mitzvah? The opposite. How could it be an explanation? Then it should have said, so that it shouldn't tear. That proves that it's really a mitzvah. The fun v'shteid lo yikareya, but the fact that it says lo yikareya, unazoyech v'layizach v'layasuru, same is true also by Loyizach, that it doesn't say Shel Loyizach or Shel Loyasuru, it just says Loyizach. Is Gedrungen, so from this it must be, we see from this clearly, as the Torah is the mit Merames at Zwei Indike Badait, that the Torah is now telling us that there are two meanings to the word Loyikareya. The Pashtus, number one is the Pashtus of Mashmaros HaKosov, the simple understanding of the Pasuk, which is Anasinus Tama Freer, explaining why the edging should be in that way. And number two, Atzivui, that it's a command, Lo Yikareya, that you shouldn't allow it to tear. So they explain why Rashi takes both views. But as Blaipta B'Sher, but this still leaves the difficulty. K'leil Siv Gimel, what was asked in paragraph 3, Favos is Rashi Nishma Farish Ados Alas Frier Reif Le'Yisur of Le'Yizach. Why doesn't Rashi explain the same thing earlier by Le'Yizach? Amalei Yisur, he should have explained it there rather than wait till here. Hey, is the beard in them? So the explanation of this is Al Derech Hapshad Daf Oiskumen As Le'Yisur and Le'Yizach Zainen Nish Kenesin Estam Nor Blei Zatziv V'La B'Fnei Atzmei. According to the simple understanding, the words the words Lo Yasuru about the poles of the Aron and Lo Yizach about the Choshen are not an explanation of why the Torah says you should do it in the way that it says, but rather it is a mitzvah. It is a command, do not allow the choshen to move and do not allow the poles to leave the aret. For in Vigazok Friya, why does it have to be a mitzvah and not an explanation? Because as we mentioned before, Oipsis Anasinas Tam, because if it was explaining just a reason, it should have said so that it will not, so that the poles will not fall out, or so that the choshen will not move around. As in fact the Gemara asks that question, so therefore we must say that it's a mitzvah. And even though it doesn't say it in an active way, it doesn't say do not take them, take out the poles, or do not move the choshen around on the chest of the kohen. Was volt gemein tatzivei for mention? That would be a command to the people, to the Jewish people. Du sollst nicht opton, you should not remove the poles from the aron. That would be a mitzvah. Do not remove the poles from the aron. Nor v'lo yasuru. But rather what it says is, it says they should not be removed. It doesn't say you should not remove it. It says they should not be removed. As the bottom zol nisht upkitam verim from the tabois, that the poles should not be removed, become removed from the rings of the aron. When azayich v'lo yizach, and the same is true for the choshen, the same idea. So you might say that this means that it's not really a mitzvah. So he says, no, it can still be explained as a command, as a mitzvah, even though it's not talking to the people, do not remove the poles. It just simply says it sort of passively. It should not be removed. The men shtav zich mishtatel zayin, because the mitzvah is seen in this way. It's up to the people to make sure, as the badim zol nisht opkitam veren, that the badim, the poles, should not be removed, should not become removed from the tabois, from the rings. Al derech v'leizach, and the same thing by the leizach. When al derech v'detzivui in on a pasuk, and this would be very similar to the command in this pasuk, which in that pasuk over there by the aron, b'tabois ha'aron yiyu abadim. The Torah says, in these rings that you put onto the aron, that's where the badim should be, the poles should be. Vos is a tzivui? That is certainly a tzivui. It's telling us that we should put the poles into the rings, explaining what to do. Hagam de posuk retnish vegen pulos adam, even though it doesn't say v'tosim, you should put the poles into the rings. It doesn't say that. It just says the poles should be in the rings. So it's still certainly a tzivui, but it says it in a removed way. It doesn't say it in a direct way to the people, put the badim into the pole, into the rings. It just says the badim should be in the poles, in the rings. So therefore, the same thing is true over here. It says, lo yosuru, they should not be removed. It doesn't say you should not remove it. It says they shouldn't be removed. Just like it said, they should be put in. It also says they should not be removed. But just like that one is a tzivui, they should be put in, is a tzivui, so also they should not be removed, is a tzivui. Even though it's not talking to the people, it's just talking to the situation. This is the situation that should be created, or not created. So that's true about lo yizach and lo yasuru. Ashinu yizaber in unza pasuk, but in our pasuk there's a change from those two words, from the way it appears by the Oren and by the Choshen. Because vu estate lo yikareya, over here it says lo yikareya, kuf kmutzo, the kuf is with the comets and the resh is with the tseirei, lo yikareya, which is binyanifo, grammatically that's called a passive verb. It's a verb torn, it should not be torn, but it doesn't say you should not tear it. It shouldn't say it shouldn't be torn. Lo yikareya means it should not be permitted to be torn. It's even more removed, more passive than v'lo yizach and v'lo yasuru. Vos demolt, that because it is a different type of a conjugation of the verb than v'lo yizach and v'layasuru. Oibdus is atziva v'layizach v'layasuru. If it's merely meant, that if it's meant as a command, and like layizach v'layasuru, dav zayna shinei and isafa mer v'bazei in dem tziva v'layikareya. There would be something, the fact that the Torah phrases it in such a way, lo yikareya, differently than the lo yizach and the lo yasuru, it would have to be telling us something about this tzivui, which is different than the tzivui of lo yizach, and that's why it's written in a different way. Virashi taiched, as we see, actually, Rashi explains it that way, in by a different mitzvah, but that is also expressed in the same type of a verb. By kol malacha lo ye'asa bahem, all work shall not be done on Yom Tov. That's what it says in Pakim Parsha Boy. So the word lo ye'asa is similar to lo yikareya. What does Rashi say about that? Afilu al yedei achedim. Rashi says the reason that the Torah says lo ye'asa and not lo tase, or whatever you shouldn't do, is to teach us that it shouldn't be done in any way. Not even somebody else should do it for you. If it would have said you should not do it, it would have meant you shouldn't do it, but somebody else can do it. Therefore it says it should not be done in such a way that nobody should do it. So in other words, we see that Rashi says that when it says it in such a way, it means to teach something more than simply the way it says lo yizach or lo yasuru. Afilo in das heißt, as lo yizach and lo yasuru un noch kama azhoros b'mishkan v'keilov. In other words, that these two mitzvahs of lo yizach and lo yasuru, as well as other mitzvahs by the Mishkan, is al yedei acherim mach nishtois. It would seem to say that in the case of lo yikareya, you have to make sure that nobody does it, the way Rashi explained by lo yasa. But v'lo yizach, there's no such problem. Somebody else does it, you're not, it's not a problem. Which of course, al derech pshat leiktzil tasnish, which according to the pshat, it makes no sense. It doesn't seem to be true. So why does the Torah then make the word lo yikareya to be different than lo yizach and lo yasuru? It can't mean that by lo yikareya there is a greater responsibility that you're not allowed to allow even anyone else, but by the other two it's okay. That doesn't seem to make sense. So then what is the message of the change of lo yikareya? The Ribbe teached Rashi, that's why Rashi explains, kedesh lo yikareya, that the reason it's written lo yikareya is because it means to tell you that it's an explanation, it's a reason why you have to do it folded in and edged in such a way so that it shouldn't tear. The Shini Aloshin and Pasuk does, and Asinas Tam. The reason the Torah expresses it differently in this case is because it means to tell you that it's a reason. It's explaining why you need to edge it in that way. Valdos is Nish, Vibale Yasur, Vale Yizach. It's not to be understood. It's different than Lo Yasur and Lo Yizach because it's written differently, so it means something else, means something different. So Rashi begins his explanation by saying that it means to explain why it has to be edged in that way. But since the pasuk doesn't say so that it shouldn't tear, nor lo yikareya, but it says it shouldn't tear, is the fun muchach. So from this it becomes clear so then it must also mean that it's a mitzvah on its own, that this is a mitzvah, you're not allowed to allow it to tear. So Rashi explains the second part of the Rashi. First he says that it's an explanation, a reason why you should edge it in that way, but since it doesn't say in order that it shouldn't tear, it must also mean that it's a mitzvah as well. So therefore both are true. And this already explains why over there Rashi doesn't have to explain it, because in this simple understanding of the pasuk where it says lo yizach, so then it's understood what it means, it's a mitzvah, and that's what it is. Rashi doesn't have to explain it. But over here, since it's written in a different way, so Rashi wonders, why is it written in a different way? It must be telling us that it means to explain why you have to make it in that way, but then because it doesn't say shaloi, then it also means that it's a mitzvah. However, we still have to understand, if the Torah wants to tell us that it is a mitzvah, Favos steht der Tzive bloß beremes durch nicht schreiben shaloye kareya. Why is the Torah so vague about the fact that it's a mitzvah and a command? How do we know that it's a mitzvah? Because the Torah doesn't say shaloye kareya, it says loye kareya. That's the only way we know that it's a mitzvah, by leaving out a letter. So now we have to interpret it that way. We're talking about a mitzvah. Why is the Torah so vague about telling us that it's a mitzvah? Atziva daftach shtein klorim beferish. When the Torah wants to tell you what you have to or not allowed to do, it should say it clearly that you should not allow to do it. The Ribur is Rashi mamshich. Therefore, Rashi goes on with the pshat, with his explanation. Shazem imini lavim shem b'Torah, because this is one of the number of lavim in the Torah. What does he mean by that? Does vos lo yikareya hotz oichdem badait fin alav, the fact that lo yikareya also means a command not to allow it to tear, is nishbich day, so lozen do wissen, dem etzema isur. It's not that in this pasuk the Torah is delivering the message, you're not allowed to allow it to tear. This is not what the pasuk is trying to tell us. As metarnish rice in the mail, that you're not, allowed to tear the robe. Because does veis meshem b'makam achar kidlakama, because that we already know from earlier, as he'll soon explain. We'll soon get to that, how we know it. So what is the Torah? The Torah doesn't have to tell you here that you're not allowed to tear the me'il, because that we know already. So what is he trying to tell us? Nor kedei dozolzai meminyan lavim. The reason that he states it here is only because the Torah, for some reason, wants it to be included as one of the lavim. The Torah sees this as one of the 365 lavim, and therefore states it as a lav. The pasuk do vildem isra yedua reinem in the cheshvan fun shasal leisase. The pasuk here wants to take this prohibition, which is well known from before. We know already that you're not allowed to let it tear it. But he wants to make sure that it's included as one of the 365 loisase. In the far muzadahobn dem badait from alav, and that's why it says loyikareya to create it as a lav. Undos ken stein euch belois beremes. And since it's not meant to tell you that this is not permitted, because we know already that it's not permitted from before, the only reason it's said here in this way, so that it should be counted as one of the 365 lavim. And for that, it could also say it in a remez, in a vague way. It doesn't have to state it clearly, because we know it already from before. Now, from Vanet Veisman, Dem Etzem Ha'isur, Amatonish Kareyaz and Emil, how do we know from before that you're not allowed to tear the robe? Is das moving by pashtus from a friedigen pasuk? This is self understood in a very simple way from an earlier pasuk. It says over there, "Vasisa bigda kodesh v'gayimer lechavadul sefaris." You should make holy garments for the kayanim, for honor and for beauty. So the Torah explains what the purpose of the garments are. Atzeris and a beged is nishlo kavadul sefaris, and a torn garment is not for beauty and not for honor. So therefore, clearly, the Torah doesn't permit us to tear the garments of the Kayin. So we already know that you're not allowed to tear the garments of the Kayin Gadol. The reason that it says over here, Lo Yikarei, is just to set it up as an outright lav. Over there, it would have been an esse. It would have been just understood from the way the Torah says you should make the beautiful garments, that you're not allowed to destroy it, tear it. But it's not a lav. So the Torah phrases it as a lav, so now it's counted as one of the 365 lavim. Zayin lechayre kemen fregen, but you could still ask the question on this. Migifin toch bekame mekaymes. We find in many places where the Torah is meisef a lav, laver ol b'shnei lavim kiyetzabay, where the Torah sometimes repeats a mitzvah or an avera that you shouldn't do so and so, and it says it once and then it says it again, and the reason that it says it again is so that if you do it, you violated two lavim because the Torah said it twice. And even though we already know that you're not allowed to do it from the first time that it's mentioned, but the second time that it's mentioned, it's also written in a very direct way, do not do so and so. It's not written in a vague way, it's written in a clear way. So therefore here too, it should have said clearly, it should have been said, you're not allowed to tear the me'il, in a way which is clearly understood that that's what it means. Chodsh the pasuk vil da narzana the isur is an oichalav, even though all he's trying to say is that it's also included in the lavin. But as we see in the other places, that when he wants to add another lav, he still says it in a clear way, in a direct way, and not alludes to it in a way by leaving out one letter, so now you know that it has to be a lav as well. Bavarantus Rashi mitn shreibim, so therefore Rashi explains, answers this question by writing the following words: Va'kayrei over b'lav, the one who tears it would violate a lav. Shezem eminyan lavim shebetayre, because this is one of the number of lavim in the Torah. Unish vizem eminyan lavim, and he doesn't say and this happens to be one of the lavim. It only, he says, because this is one of the lavim. Thus haste, in other words, what he's trying to say, shezem miminyan lavim shebetayre is a tam favos hakayre over b'lav, that the, because it's counted as one of the lavim, that's why when you if you tear it, you're over a lav. In other words, to say, das vaser is over b'lav is das blois valer is miminyan lavim shebetayre. The fact that he's over on a lav is only because the Torah wants it to be one of the 613 mitzvahs. In other, the Torah is meisiv lavim. What he's trying to say is this: in other places where the Torah wants to add another lav, in other words, he says it again because he wants you to count it as two lavim. Why does the Torah set up the same prohibition as two separate lavim? There's a reason. Is bechteide mit zu machen dem iser harber in hergish we mentioned. The reason is so that a person takes it more seriously. It's not just that you're over on one lav if you do it, but if you do this, you're going to be over two times. In other words, you feel like you're violating much more than one aveira. You're doing two aveiras by doing it. Midakavana, what's the reason the Torah wants to create it that way? The purpose, of course, is as soll sein leichter abhalten von tandem iser. He wants the person to have an easier time of refraining from doing it. If you know that you're violating two aveiras by doing it, so then it'll be easier to stay away from it. Abadoz vas hakayrei over b'lav, but in this case it's a completely different thing. The reason that when you tear it you're over a lav is as nishvich deitzemachan dem iser harba b'dimension. The reason the Torah sets it up as a lav is not in order to make it more difficult for you to do it, to violate it. Nor the Torah vilda ein reinech and dem iser in zereisen dem il in a minyan alavim. The only reason the Torah sets it up as a lav is because for some reason the Torah wants it to be considered as one of the 365 lois. And it's only because the Torah wants it to be a lav, that's why if you happen to tear the meal, you will be over on a lav too. In other words, the reason that a person shouldn't do it is because you're going to violate l'kavod l'sefaros. That's why you wouldn't do it. Why, you will, however, be over on a lav also. Why? Because the Torah, for some reason, wanted it to be a lav in addition to being an eser. And therefore, if you do it, you're going to be over on a lav. So Rashi is explaining why the Torah makes it into a lav. And therefore, why does he have to explain that? There's a reason. The lav is nishli machen harba the misa by mention, and since the lav here is not in order to make it more serious in your eyes so that you shouldn't do it, it's only so that it will be considered one of the lavim of the Torah. The Torah wants it to be one of the 365. Is the genug as the lav zol shtein in haremezik neif, and therefore Rashi is explaining that it's okay for the this lav to be only alluded to by in a vague way, because it's not meant to charge you with the prohibition so that you won't do it. It's only there in order to set it up as one of the lavin. The mitzvah movement for Vas Rashi is mishana from Loshna Gemara. This also explains why Rashi in this case changes from the way the Gemara says it. What does it say in the Gemara? Hamakareya big de kohuna loike. Oh, in the Gemara it says if somebody tears the garments of the kohuna, he gets malchus. Und schreibt, what does Rashi write? He doesn't write that. Rashi writes, va'kayre eva b'lav. Rashi simply says, if you tear it, you violate a lav. The Adgosha, so the reason is the Adgosha in Rashi is Nish, so Adrois bringing them Chaymer Achet from Tzereis in the Me'il. Rashi is not trying to point out how serious a violation it is if you tear the Me'il. Bis to Makuma Malkus, so that you should know you would get Malkus if you did it. That would be in order to show the seriousness of it. But Rashi is not trying to say that, nor Adara, but what he is trying to say is, Dos was loye kareya hot eichne madait van alav. He's trying to point out that the reason, to the contrary, that the reason that loye kareya is considered to be alav is bloisa teitzor de fumbos, the isurish, shazem minu lavin shvetayra, is only because the Torah for some reason decided that it should be alav. That's what he's trying to say. And therefore, it's okay for it to be written in a vague way, and because it's not trying to warn you off. That's not the point of making it into a lav. And that's why he doesn't emphasize what the Gemara emphasizes, that you would get Malkus, because that's not what's important here. What's important here is the contrary, to de-emphasize the seriousness of it, and that's why it can be written in a vague way. However, there is still something that has to be explained. Favos epes dafkedo is the Torah meisav alav norvichtei azol arangerechen veren in aminyan alav. The question Rashi still is bothered by is why suddenly in this one case does the Torah create something as a lav just for the purpose of having 365 lavin? All of a sudden here. The Rebbe brings Rashi weiter. That's why Rashi, in order to answer this question, Rashi continues. By the Badim, there, so also the same is true for those two. Also in those lavim, there is nothing new that is added by saying v'layizach or layasuru to what is already understood from previously, as we'll explain soon. On the fun zetman as by Melechus Hamishkan, so from this we see, and yet the Torah sets it up as a lav. So we see that for some reason by the Melechus Hamishkan, vil the pasuk meisiv zayin b'minyan lavim, the Torah wants to add a number of lavim. So now we have three already. It's no longer one case; it's already three cases. That Rashi gives Rashi the answer. We see that it is something that the Torah wants to do, and therefore it's not a question why. Why is it that nothing is added to those two by making it as a law? Because we know it from earlier. How do we know it from earlier? Over there it says they should tie down the cheshen with a strand of blue wool, so that it will sit on the belt of the Eifet. When Rashi types this up, and as Rashi explains it there, Lias HaChayshin Dovuk El Chayshav Eishav, that the Chayshin is now attached to the belt of the Eifet. Veis Mishayin, so from this already we know, as the Chayshin Muzayin Dovuk Tzum Eifet, that the Torah wants that the Chayshin should be attached to the belt of the Eifet. Azoy Oichin, so in other words, we know this already. So why does it say v'lo yizach? What's added? Nothing new came out. We already know that it has to be attached. Why does it say it shouldn't move? Because the Torah wants to add it as a lav. Azoy oich by the body of Oren state, also by the poles of the Oren, it says b'tabois ha'oren yu abadim, in the rings of the Oren shall the poles sit. Ishana klorotzivoy. So from this it becomes clear already, there is the mitzvah, as the badim muzen zayin in tabois oren, that the pole should be in the rings of the oren. So we know already that they have to be in the rings of the oren. Why does it say they shouldn't be removed? Only to set it up as a lav. The fun was the Torah is meisiv de lavim, layasurim menu of layizach, so now that the Torah sets it up as a lav, do not remove it and do not allow it to move. So this it sort of proves, as by Mishkan on Big Dekahuna, is the pasuk b'chlal oisin semaisu zayin lavim, that by these two subjects, which are the garments of the kohen and the kalim of the Mishkan, the Torah wants to add a number of lavim. Und der Riber ist schon geringer zu verstehen mit den Didan, and that's why it becomes easier to understand also in regards to Loyikareya, those who the Torah schreibt Loyikareya und nicht Shal Loyikareya. So now we understand why it says Leikreya and doesn't. We don't have the question anymore why it doesn't say so that it should not be torn. Nor Zainalab. It's all there. Shelo, you would have meant as an explanation, not as a lav. So he says, no, it says Lo Yikareya, so that it should be a lav. And the reason because why the Torah wants it to be a lav is because for some reason the Torah wants to add lavim to the number of the mitzvahs and dafka ones that should be in the context of the Mishkan, of what's going on in the Mishkan. So that explains the entire Rashi. From the inyanim ufloim al derech halacha in the Pirush Rashi, from the things that we find in Rashi, which also shed light on halacha, the Rambam paskin is hakareya pi hamiil loike. If somebody tears the neckline of the robe, he would get malka shenema, because it says in the pasuk lo yikareya, it should not be torn. V'u'adin l'chol big dekohen, and this is true actually for any garment of the kohen gadol or the kohen. Sha'akayrim derech hashchasa loike. If somebody tears them in a way to be destructive, he gets malkus. That's what the Rambam says. From Pashas Loshna Rambam Kumtoi, so from the reading of the Rambam it comes out, asizda achilik tzishin ala big dekohen and the mi'il, that there is a difference between all the other garments of the kohen and the mi'il. The mi'il is specific. By all the big dekun is meloike nora kerim derech hashchasa. By any of the other garments, you would only be chayiv if you tore it in a destructive way. Ober akereya pia me'il loike, but in the case of the me'il, it says only if you tear it, you get malchus b'chol oifen, even if you didn't do it in a destructive way. However you tear it. So in Achreinim Masbir, so the Achreinim explain about this. Das Rambam, they explain the opinion of the Rambam. Does for Sakere is called big dekuna loike. The reason that someone tears any of the big dekuna gets malchus is mitzadim lav from loitzas and kain. That stems from the lav, which is do not. It says you should destroy the avodah zarah, but do not do so to Hashem. In other words, you're not allowed to destroy something that belongs to Hashem in the service of Hashem, including the big dekuna. And their love is nor derech hashchasa, and over there it's only in a way, in a destructive way. That's the only way you're not allowed to break it. But let's say if you break something in order to fix it, then it's not destructive. Then you wouldn't be over. Mashenkin by me'il, but the me'il is different. Kumt malkus mitzadim lav lo yikareya, because the lav associated with the me'il is not lo yisasun kein. It's lo yikareya, and by lo yikareya it doesn't say madem lav is mimchayim malkus b'cholinyan. And in regards to this lav, you're chayiv, even if you didn't do it in a destructive way. Rashi learned Ober. However, from the way Rashi interprets it here, in Pashtas Aksuvim, in the simple understanding of the Pesukim, as the Pesuk is Meisiv Dem Lav Lo Yikareya Nishtuli Meisiv Zayin Anayim Isur. The way Rashi explains it, this new lav of Lo Yikareya is not there to add a new dimension to the Isur. The only thing that is accomplished by the words lo yikareya is not to make a new kind of an isur, but only so that it should be counted as one of the lavim. Darf lefize oiskum, and so according to this it would come out as l'shitas Rashi b'pirusha l'teira, that according to Rashi, at least here in the Torah, is nishtokin chilik in dem oifna kriya tzvishn dem me'il and ander v'gdekuna. There would be nothing different about tearing the me'il than there would be about tearing any other garment, because lo yikareya is not coming to add a new understanding to the mitzvah. It's the same mitzvah that you're not allowed to destroy, you're not allowed to tear any of the big v'gdekuna, and it doesn't have to be. And you know, it would have to be derech hashchasa. There would be no difference between the me'il and any of the other garments. So he would be disagreeing with the Rambam on this point. Yud from the Yenishal Torah in Pirush Rashi, to understand the inner dimension of Torah in this Rashi, l'chayre is nish moving. This leaves a question, at least from the perspective of the inner dimension of Chassidus. Vavos bringt Rashi the raya from lo yizach v'shteit in unzer sedef far the raya from lo yosuru. In this Rashi, he first says, and the same is true also about v'lo yizach, which is written earlier in Parshat Tzaveh. And he doesn't first start with Lo Yasuru, which is brought in Parsha Truma. So the first proof should have been from the earliest appearance of this idea, of this phenomena, which is Lo Yasuru, earlier in Parsha Truma. And then he should have gone to Lo Yizach, which is in Parsha Tetzaveh. But he does it the reverse. He starts with the second one and he goes back to the first one. Why does he do that? Oich, another question. Favos is Rashi Meitzev Nocham Aldem Vorit V'chein Lo Yasuru. Why does Rashi add the word V'chein? He says, V'chein V'lo Yizach, V'chein, and also V'lo Yasuru. Why doesn't he say one time, and also V'lo Yizach and V'lo Yasuru? Why does he set up a new word V'chein? Is the fun movement. So from this we understand as the lav Lo Yasuru is noch achidush un aggressor achidush be the lav Lo Yizach. From this it's clear that the Lo Yasuru, what we see, the insight that we have from Lo Yasuru, is a step more than what we see from Lo Yizach. That's why he starts from the simpler chidush, the simpler novel idea. And I builds on that, and the same also, it goes another step, and also V'lo Yasuru. That's why he starts V'lo Yizach, and he goes on to V'lo Yasuru. V'stariba brings them Rashi, Noch V'lo Yizach, and that's why he brings it after V'lo Yizach, and the far Moisif, Nochamo V'chein, and therefore he adds again the word V'chein. Not only V'lo Yizach, but also even V'lo Yasuru. But what does this mean? The beer in them to explain it. The lav lo yikareya is nishkan chidush godol. To say that you're not allowed to tear the garment of the kohen is not a great novel idea. This is a fashtandige zach. It's an obvious thing. As matarnish mekalkel zayin the bigde kohuna, it's self understood that you're not allowed to destroy, ruin the bigde kohuna. The nachzok Rashi. So Rashi goes on. The chaim v'lo yizach achayshin, and the same is also true of v'lo yizach achayshin, which is not as simply understood. Also in regards to allowing the cheshen to move from the eifed, chashis that in the stock can kilkul, even though over there you're not ruining anything, you haven't destroyed the garment by allowing it to shift around, but it's izoich alav, but it's still considered a lav. Aber oich dos kem efashtein, but this too is pretty understood. Why? The pasuk alein is dot mamshich. As the pasuk continues, v'nosa aron eshem is bnei Yisrael b'cheshen hamishpat alibay, because it says that the aron is meant to carry the names of the bnei Yisrael, which were engraved on the stones of the cheshen. So they have to sit on his heart. That's where they have to sit. And if they shift around, they're not sitting on his heart. L'zikaron l'fnei Hashem tamid, and the reason they sit on his heart is because to bring the memory of the Jewish people before Hashem at all times. So if it's moved away from the heart of the Kohen Gadol, somehow it diminishes in the bringing it to the attention of Hashem, and therefore it's understood that it's not permitted, it has to stay there, and that it shouldn't be moved. But what is the reason why the poles of the Oren are not allowed to move out of the rings? The purpose of the poles of the Oren are in order to be able to carry it when it needs to move, be moved from one place to the other. That's how you carry it. So then why do the poles have to be sitting in the Oren all the time? If you're not moving it, what's the function of the poles sitting in the Oren? Why is it so important for them to be there all the time? To the contrary, you would think that what should happen actually is they should be inserted into the rings, the poles should be inserted at a time when you need to move it from one place to the other. But if you don't have to move it, why do the poles have to be sitting there? The Rebbe zok Rashi nochamol. That's why Rashi says v'chein lo yasuru memenu hanema b'badi oren. And the same is true about lo yasuru memenu, which is written about the badim, which is not oich dosarois nema de badi oren from tabois is allowed. Even in this case, where we don't understand exactly the reason why they're not allowed to be removed. Also there you're over and alav. und punkt das Lav, and it's the same exact Lav wie der Lav von zerreißen und makalkos in der Bigde Kohuna. It's the same Lav as tearing and ruining the Bigde Kohuna loye kareya. And so not on loye kareya is well very understood. Lo yizach is less understood, but at least we get an idea of why it's important. But then he goes on to say, and also that the poles, which we don't understand at all why that's important, but it's the same love, and that's why he works his way to the greater chiddush, from the most self-understood to the next, which is less understood, to the one that's completely not understood. Yudalef, vos is taka de tam vos liyasuru memenu, what is in fact the reason why the badim should not be moved from the oren? Zokter Rav de Sefer HaChinuch, the Chinuch says, Nitztavinu lo bal nosir badei orim emenu, we were told not to remove the poles from the orim, pen ni yitzrichim lotzis im orim l'shum mokim b'mehirus, because it may come a time when we have to rush to carry the orim to somewhere else quickly. V'ulim b'teich atir devechipozen, and it's possible that because of the rush and so on, we won't make sure that the poles that we use will be strong and solid so that they carry the urn safely. So therefore, but if they sit there ready at all times, they're never removed. Those poles will be made sure that they're strong and they fit well and they don't move, and so on, and they support the Urim properly, and there's no reason to worry now because you're never going to change them. They always sit there. We get the right ones to begin with, and they always sit there in case you have to move it quickly. You have the right thing. And this teaches us a lesson, an amazing lesson about the Aveda of each and every Jew. In the Oren zayn gelegen de Luchas. What was in the Oren? Of course, the Luchas. Was das is the Inyan HaTeiro, which represents Teiro, and Eloshim v'Chinuch, as the Chinuch expresses it, HaOren Mishkan HaTeiro. The Oren is the resting place, the dwelling place of the Teiro. That's the center of the Teiro. Oich Aid was learned Teiro is b'dugmas Oren. A Yid that studies Teiro is compared to the Oren. Er is an ort un mishkan haTorah. He is a place. This Jew is a place of the Torah, the place where the Torah rests. Ken ha'id bazich trachten. So this kind of a yid could think to himself, in the tzeit v'sadav zichob gem midlim in haTorah, during the time when he is busy with studying Torah, ubefrat terosum nasi, especially if Torah is his preoccupation. That's what he does all the time. He has to be completely dedicated to the study of Torah, and therefore he should be completely separated and removed from everything else that's going on around him. He has to be centered and focused on the study of Torah. So while he is studying Torah, what sense does it make that he should be thinking about other people in other places, other Yidden, right now at this time when he has to be focused on learning Torah? If them is the Erof and the Badei Aron, so this comes the lesson of the poles of the Aron. I feel of in the Aron gefinzich in Kodesh HaKadoshim, even while the Aron was sitting in the Holy of Holies, the Mokam Achim Mugdash Ba'olam, the holiest place in the world, was the Far Kenayin Arayin Genodah Kohen Gadol Nor B'Yom Kippurim, which is the reason that only the Kohen Gadol and only on Yom Kippur is able to go there. Even there, the poles have to be ready and sitting and waiting. The poles are the function of the Aron, which is to bring it out of the Holy of Holies. But even when it's sitting in the Holy of Holies, it's always on the ready, always ready to go. So that we can quickly bring the Aron to a place where it needs to be at this particular time. Unochmer, even more so, the Saraisim at the bottom of the Taboys, Famokten Zir de Zelba Harbkeit, Vitzeraisim Makalkos in the Bigit Kohuna. In fact, it's such a serious matter that removing the Aron, which means removing that state of readiness from the Aron to be taken elsewhere quickly, is as serious as destroying the garments of the Kohen. Nazoi is oich in dem Inyan von Teire, and the same is true for Teire. Fifel is all Zaina Eden's Arangetonkeit in Limida Teire, as much as a Yid is focused and preoccupied by the study of Teire, Dafra Alamal Zain Muchan, he always has to be ready, on the ready, oif zu bringen Teire ven nor und wo norm is all this Dafran, to be able to bring Teire to wherever and whenever it has to be brought. Und dafke in an oifen von Mehirus, and specifically in a way that it has to be done right now. It has to be ready all the time. Zu noch Eden, to be able to bring the Torah to more Yidden. In other words, even if you're preoccupied by the learning of Torah, it always has to be in your mind, I may have to go immediately to help another Yid. I have to be ready at any moment's notice to be able to go help another Yid and to bring Torah to another Yid.